quick thing with that CISM training. It actually gives you 2 certificates of training. So really amazing. I'm honest to truth. It's a really amazing opportunity. I think God will be able to use us greatly and perhaps even start something new in Macomb County. And so just wanted to mention that to you. If you could help, that'd be great. If you'd like to be a part of that, I think you will be amazed at the information and just the training that it will be. So if you'd like any information, see Miss Tracy, and we will be talking more about that in the coming weeks. All right, open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Bless you. All right, did you find it? Okay, let's stand, please, in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. The Bible says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." So when you sat down, I want you to underline that. To do, and he began to do and to teach, the Lord did. "Until the day," verse 2, "in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he," Jesus, "showed himself alive, after his passion, by many infallible proofs," literally undeniable proofs of his resurrection, "being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, 'Ye have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, 'Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?' And he said unto them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power.'" Notice verse 8. And really verse 8 is a really key verse of the entire book. He says in verse 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power." Look at that. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me." So we see they're going to receive power. And because they receive power, then the Bible says they will be witnesses. Look at this. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem," verse 8, "and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You and I should thank God for that final sentence of that verse. They're going to be witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But thank the Lord Jesus, he includes the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where that blesses me today, doesn't it, you? Aren't you grateful the gospel came to the United States of America? Can I get a witness in this room? Amen. Look at this. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight," the Lord Jesus Christ here. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.' Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives," Mount called Olivet, "which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey." Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for the privilege we have of preaching your word today. I pray, dear Jesus, that what is said and done will give you glory. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there's someone here today that does not know you as Savior, that today would be the day that they repent of their sin, of being a sinner, and God, that they would call upon you before it's eternally too late to trust you in salvation. So, Father, I ask that you'll go with us now. Help us, we pray. May the Holy Spirit have free reign in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What's amazing about this portion of Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we believe Luke wrote this book. Luke wrote the book of Acts. We know that he also wrote the Gospel of Luke, right? Luke, we have him read one of the Gospels. He writes this. And really what he writes the book of Acts for is it's literally a continuation of what Jesus began. When you look at this portion of Scripture, what we find in these verses, and I gave it the title, The Power to Serve. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his grace and mercy, really desires of the local assembly, because you'll see in chapter 2, is that's really who he's talking to here. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But the Lord Jesus Christ desires that we be witnesses for him. You see, Jesus, when he saves us in his grace and his mercy, when the Lord Jesus saves us and by his grace, he leads us and places us in a local assembly, he does so to give him glory, but he also does so for the purpose of us serving him through that local assembly. You know, aren't you thankful today that God is allowing you to serve him? I got 2 weeks of preaching in me. Aren't you thankful that God allows you to serve him today? I sincerely mean that. And you say, preacher, you always do. If we don't say enough amens, you make us say it again. Because I want you to understand, I want you to be included, right? But I also want you to understand that when you say amen, what amen is you are amening that what has just been stated is truth. And also, when you say amen, it's like saying sick them to a bulldog to a preacher. But I just wanted to throw that out there to you. But what we see in this text, so I want to give you some thoughts on this. Notice, first of all, the purpose of the book. The purpose of the book really can be found. The first three verses, we see really the purpose of this. He tells us there, verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We know that Luke here, we know he was a physician, though. We know that. We know that Luke is indeed the writer. We know that Luke was a missionary companion of the Apostle Paul. He's known as the beloved physician. He's the author of the Gospel of Luke in your Bible, and he's also the author of this book of Acts. He's writing to a man named Theophilus. Theophilus's name, it's actually kind of a cool name. It means a lover of God. What a name. Amen? A lover of God. I hope today that you can say of yourself that you're a lover of God. You say, yeah, preacher, we love him because he first loved us. Absolutely, 100%, amen, amen, amen. But I'm here today to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I love him. I love him. You say, well, preacher, but we don't love him like we ought. You're right, but I still love him. I'm telling you, he changed my life as a 16-year-old kid. He absolutely changed my life. And I'm grateful to God. I'm so grateful to God that when he saved me, he not only saved me, he began to show me through the preaching of my pastor and through the teaching in my local church and through, my brothers and sisters in Christ that were part of the family of God, that were part even of First Baptist Church of Alexandria. He began to show me that not only did he save me, and that was part of his plan, but he also began to show me and teach me, and Jesus continues to teach me that he has a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for you. You say, ah, preacher, God isn't interested in me. Who told you that? Who told you that? That's not true. God's very interested in you, friend. You say, yeah, preacher, God. No, listen, friend. God needs you. You say, wait a minute. God doesn't need any of us. He'd be just in throwing us all into hell. You're absolutely right. He would be just. And I said to my Sunday school class this morning, he would have been just. He would have still been God. He would have still been holy. If he threw us all into the lake of fire, he'd still be God. Can I get a witness? But thank God he didn't do that. Thank God that here we are, for those of us that know Christ as our Savior, born again believers, because of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. God, here's my premise of this. God needs you to further his kingdom by sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world. Are you a witness? The question really is, do you care? Do we care? Do we want people? Do we want teenagers? Do we want kids? Do we want adults, do we want them to go to heaven when they die? The only, listen, friend, on the authority, not of this pastor, on the authority of God's written word, which, oh, by the way, is our final authority, on the authority of God's written word, God uses his gospel. The only way a person goes to heaven when they die is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the gospel. Paul said that in one of his writings. The purpose of the book. You see, this lover of God, he's writing this book to this lover of God by the name of Theophilus. We don't know exactly who he was, but we have reason to believe that he was perhaps some scholars believe that he was an important official, and the Apostle Luke is trying to explain to him those basic principles of the Christian faith and what Christianity is all about. I'll be honest with you, the book of Acts is a wonderful book because really, you know, I've heard another pastor call it Acts Alive, because the book of Acts is a powerful book that really you see it time and time and time again, of people who hear the gospel, they trust Christ their Savior, they get baptized, become part of that local assembly, and they continue to do what Jesus began. Here we are in 2018, and we are here, ladies and gentlemen, to continue what Jesus started. That's what we're here to do. We're here to share the gospel. We're here to tell people that they too can go to heaven when they die if they will repent and believe the gospel to the saving of their soul. The life of Jesus Christ was we see the purpose of this book. And Luke is showing for us very briefly, just real quick, just kind of setting this up. May take today's service to do it, and next week we'll dig into the meat of it. But we see as Luke is sharing with us, he begins to tell us about the unique life of Jesus. Look at the text. Look what he says here. Until the day, verse 2. Of all that Jesus, verse 1, remember? The former trees I made with the office, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. Of course, we fast forward. If you were to fast forward to, you know, the other verses that we read here this morning, we see that Jesus ascends to the Father there from Mount Olivet. And we see him ascending there to the Father. The Bible tells us in verse 2, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. What were some of the commandments that he gave? Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Turn to Matthew 28. Hold your place in Acts because we're going to come right back to this. Oh, that's a cute little picture. That's my wife and I when we were dating. Man. Boy, he's a good-looking dude there. Just kidding. He's a skinny little feller, I know that. I wouldn't recognize him. I always tell everybody that's my younger brother. But Leslie hasn't changed a bit. Oh, isn't that nice? She hadn't changed. Matthew 28. You're there, but I'm not because I'm talking. Yeah, it might be in my Bible. I think it is. Here we go. What was some of the commandments that Jesus gave? Well, we'll see this here. Matthew 28. Look at the text. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Of course, this is the resurrected Lord. They saw him, and some doubted. We know that, you know, we know Thomas was one, you know, as we see in another portion of Scripture, Thomas was a doubter, right? I'm not going to believe him. And Jesus said, well, you know, put your hands here, put your hands here. And then, of course, he understood it. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And by the way, the only reason Jesus would say that all power was given unto him is because he's a sovereign God, ladies and gentlemen. He's a sovereign God. When you see Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. We believe in the deity of Christ. We believe in the Trinity in the sense that we know that it's not three gods, it's one God manifested in three persons. We believe that, don't we? So we see in this verses here, so here's the commandments that Jesus gives them. He says, all power is given unto me. And because all power is given unto me, I'm going to tell you what I expect of you. I'm going to tell you what your duty assignment, what your job will be now. Look at the text. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. So it's interesting that he uses that. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go ye. You know, it's interesting that Jesus uses those words. And by the way, it's a command, not a suggestion. It's a command, not a suggestion. You say, preacher, why are you telling us that? Well, because every now and then people, and I'll joke about this, but to be honest, there's oftentimes, I'm serious when I say it, that there are some things you do not have to pray about. Going to Papa Vino's is one of them. You know there's a Papa Vino's 2 hours and 47 minutes away from here? Yeah. I hit it twice when I went to Chicago about a month ago. I was so thankful Toby had a tournament out there. Wasn't really worried about the tournament, but I knew, man, I could go to, yeah. Whew, I'm telling you, it's glorious. Some things you don't have to pray about. For example, Papa Vino's, and I joke about that, but let me give you another one, baptism. You don't have to pray about baptism. If you know Christ as your Savior, it's a command of God to be baptized. And by the way, we need to get that scheduled. I forgot about that, and we get that scheduled. We have a couple awaiting baptisms, so we're going to look at the calendar and get that scheduled. We'll talk to you after service and see if we can't get that done. But you know another one you don't have to pray about? Is being a witness for Jesus. Sharing the gospel with people. Telling people about Christ. You know, I was with Toby again. We were with the team. I drove the basketball team down to Temperance, Michigan on Friday. And got there, of course, watching the game. And then my father-in-law called and was telling me, hey, I'm on my way to the hospital. Looks like mom possibly had a heart attack. And so that kind of happened. So then whenever I'm so grateful for the family of God. I really mean this. So here I am. I come back in, Bill. I come back into I started to say Coliseum. No, they don't play in the Coliseum yet. In the gym there, I come back into the gym, and there was my friend Ben, who goes to Shelby Bible, and I sat down, and he sat right by me, and I leaned up to him. I said, hey, Ben, I said, do me a favor, bud. I said, if you don't mind, I said, remember my mother-in-law in prayer. I said, you know, she's possibly having a heart attack. And Brother Bill, right there in that gym, he threw his arm around me. He said, let's pray right now, brother. And he took my mother-in-law before the throne of God right there in that gym. I'm grateful for the family of God. So we then, here's where I was going with that. So we then, the game ends. Thank the Lord it ended, or it would have been even worse. But anyway, it was a shellacking that they took. But we left there. We went to McDonald's. And I was telling one of the boys, because we prayed, the team, one of the boys on the van, one of the boys from the team prayed for my mother-in-law as we were driving. And so he prayed for Toby's grandmother. And we get to McDonald's, and I'm standing there talking to him, and I was giving Jack an update. I said, hey, bud, here's the update. Well, a little lady from McDonald's, she's standing right beside me. And after I got done telling him that it looks like she's going to be okay, possible slight heart attack, that they've put the stents in, was able to open up, I turned, and there she is, and she's about this tall. Just a little bitty thing. And she looked at me. She goes, sir, she goes, I wasn't trying to be nosy. She said, but I heard what you was telling that boy. And she goes, I just want you to know. She said, I'll be praying for your mother-in-law. You know, I'm grateful for God's family. I'm also grateful for the local assembly. I'm grateful to be part of a local church. I mean that with the bottom of my heart. You know, I know sometimes the local church gets a bad rap. I know sometimes people say, oh, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, what you're saying is you're a lazy Christian. Jeff had a guy in his church like, well, my church is out there. He goes, I go to Oak Baptist. And Jeff's like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, when I'm out in the woods, that's where I feel the closest to God. Not me. Not me, friend. There's something special about the local assembly. And as I studied, and I studied this out, and I shared my Sunday school class this morning, here's something you got to understand. When God, oh, this is good. When God saved you, he gifted you. He put a gift in you. You study it. Read Romans chapter 12. Read 1 Corinthians. When God saved you, he put at least one motivational gift in your life. Now, the purpose of that gift is not for self-glorification. The purpose of that gift is to give him glory and also edify the body of Christ. So when we as believers in Jesus, as the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, when we assemble, guess what that does? It does a few things. Number one, it gives us an opportunity to worship our Lord in a way that we can't do by ourselves. We can worship the Lord as a body in Christ. And when we come together as a body in Christ, we come together as a gifted body. And when we use our gifts for his honor and glory, that's what we do with them. But we also use our gifts to edify, the Bible says this, to edify the body, to build it up. Are you part of the building crew or are you part of the wrecking crew? I want to be part of the building crew, don't you? I do. And I really believe that the motivational gift that God's given me, again, has nothing to do with me. Please hear my heart. This is not a braggadocious point here in this sermon. I believe God's given me the gifts of exhortation, meaning the gift of encouragement. I'm passionate about trying to encourage people. I just love trying to be an encourager. It's a motivation of my life. And if I see somebody that see somebody down or I see somebody that's, you know, maybe quiet. Quiet people and I are real, well, I look at quiet people as a challenge. Anybody else like that? I go to a store. My wife hates when she goes to a store with me because I talk to people. I'm like Brother Joe Creek. Me and Joe Creek are brothers of a kindred soul. By the time I leave a store, I'm telling you, by the time I leave a store, a lot of times, I'll get to the car and my wife's like, who was you talking to? I was like, oh, I was talking to Charlie over there. Who's Charlie? I said, I don't know, just met him over there. Him and his wife been married 37 years, got 4 kids and 6 grandkids and 2 dogs. And they're going to Hawaii in 2 weeks. How'd you get all that out of him? I have no idea. I'm just so charming. People like to talk to me, I guess. Yeah, she says, sure, right. But you know what? In the context, now that's often out in the world. That's out in the, you know, in the marketplace, if you will. But man, you know what's awesome? Is when you come to the local church and you start allowing God to use you to be an encourager, to use you to be, you know, some have the gift of mercy, some have the gift of ruling, some have the gift of, there's I think 7 or 8 gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12. But the point is, those gifts are not for our benefit. They're to benefit the local body, and they're to benefit and glorify his holy name. So when we assemble, and I tell you what, and maybe you might amen this statement. I have been greatly encouraged many, many times at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church when we have assembled. I really have. It encourages me. Your attendance encourages me. Your support encourages me. Your ministries encourage me. Those that sang, Amy, bless my heart this morning. That was a tremendous, tremendous song. Love that. I love when people use their gifts and their talents and their abilities to honor Christ, but they also use them to edify, to build people up. Man, what a blessing. Our choir ministry, our orchestra ministry, what a blessing. It's not about us, it's about him. It's about giving him glory. And that's what Luke tells us here in this text, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So he says, some of the commands that Jesus gave in Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world. Don't be selective. Now, who's he saying this to? He's saying it to his apostles, to that church that he started. He's telling them this. He said, go into all the world. Now, let's process that, Brother Ryan. He's just told them to go into Samaria. Why is that a big deal? The Jews honestly hated the Samaritans. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? There isn't any group of people that Jesus hasn't died for. So Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You teach them about me. You share the gospel with them. And when they get saved, you baptize them. And when they get baptized, it's a simple premise. You give them the gospel. They get saved. You baptize them. Once they're baptized, become part of local assembly, you baptize them, and then you start teaching them. That's what you do. And by the way, you can't improve on God's way. You can't. You say, how do you build a church? I'll tell you how you build a church. You preach the gospel, and when people get saved, you baptize them. And when they get baptized, you teach them. And I'm a big, you've heard me say this for 15 years as your preacher. If you give one, please hear this. If you give 1 hour a week to Emmanuel, don't give it to a worship service. Give it to Sunday school. Don't come and hear me preach. Give it to Sunday school. You say, oh, wait a minute. How dare you say that? No, I mean that my heart before my Lord. Give it to Sunday school. You know why that is? Because if you'll give it to Sunday school, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be taught the Word of God in a way where it's a lot of times it's open, where you can share thoughts, you can and hear teachings, and people can speak into different things, and that's a great way. I love teaching like that. But also, you're going to build relationships in there. And when you build relationships in there, you do know that relationships are more important than results, right? You know that, right? If you build a relationship with people, you become friends. Statistics have proven. They've tracked it. Dr. Tom Rainer has tracked this. People that become part of a small group setting like a Sunday school class, they will stick it out as a member a lot longer than those that won't. Those that don't join a small group, I want to say, I think it tracks around, they're gone within 2 years of a church, of coming to the church. You say, well, I'm not in Sunday school. I've been coming here for years. Well, you're the exception to the rule. But if you give an hour, give it to Sunday school. Well, preacher, I never knew you'd say that. Well, that's just my heart, because I really truly believe that's the way you grow a church. That's the way you do it. I mean this. You can't improve on that. You grow it through the teaching of God's word. And, all right, let me go on. I'm almost done because I'm hungry. Talking about Papa Vino's makes you hungry. Man, they got amazing food. I'm telling you, we should do a missions trip. Amen. I see a missions trip to the west side of the state. We'll take gospel tracts with us. Spend the night and eat again. I told my wife, I said, you know what, let's do this. I said, let's go out over on the west side. I said, we'll get a hotel. I said, we'll eat dinner at Papa Vino's at night. I said, and we'll sleep in the next morning, and then we'll go to Papa Vino's for lunch. She said, you've lost your mind. I said, amen. Yeah, some things you don't have to pray about, man. Of all that Jesus began, back to Acts, and we'll close. I want to show you one thing, and I hope it really encourages you. Verse 2, he gives them commandments. We see the purpose of the book unfolding in the first three verses. Acts 1, verse 3. Now you gotta really get a hold of this, because if you don't, you're going to skip right over it and you're going to miss the meaning of it. You remember when we said that, you know, some doubted, the Bible said that some doubted in Matthew 28. What were they doubting? They were doubting if he was alive or not. Many of them didn't believe that Jesus would rise again, even his own followers. And they were skeptics. They thought it was over. They thought Jesus was done. They thought, you know, they watched him die, many of them. They no doubt knew that he was buried. But many of them thought it was over. That's the context. Look at verse 3. So he gives them commandments. And look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself. What's the next word? Alive. He showed himself alive. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a risen Savior. Can I get a witness? We serve a risen Savior. We don't serve a dead Savior. You see, and by the way, a dead Savior can help no one. A dead Savior can save no one. But a risen Savior, on the other hand, he can change your life. And by the way, he will change your life, sweet friend, if you'll repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Will you do that? If you're watching the internet, will you do that? Will you trust Christ as your Savior? Will you get born again, trusting in him and him alone? Maybe you are. Say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but to be honest, you hit on church and you hit on being a member and you talk about it being important. Listen, we'd love to have you. We would love to have you. Our doors are wide open. Honestly, we would love to have you. We'll serve the Lord together. We'll grow together. We'll serve Christ together. We'll, by God's grace, we'll further his kingdom for his honor and glory. Let's just join, you know. Let's serve him. Let's make a difference for his kingdom. Let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken to your heart that you will respond, that God's spoken to your heart through his word, that you will respond to it. Maybe, perhaps you feel led that God's leading you here to Emmanuel. Our doors, again, wide open. We would absolutely be honored to have you join. Maybe you said, preacher, yeah, I would love to be part of Emmanuel. I don't know how to do it. Well, come forward. Come forward, and we'll talk about that. If you're saved, there's ways you can join, whether through baptism or through statement of faith or perhaps a letter of another church of like faith and order. We'd love to have you. You come. And maybe you need to come for prayer. Maybe you need to come to this altar and just kneel before the Lord and just pray and talk to God about certain things in your life, maybe a direction in your life, maybe some decisions that you need to make. He's alive, and because he's alive, you can talk to him. You can, if you know him as Savior, you can talk to him. What's your number, bud?
298.
298. You come as we sing. We appreciate your good attention this morning. How many we have today, guys? 171. Praise the Lord. Man, praise the Lord. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being a part of the church services today. Don't forget the announcements. I gave you a ton of announcements with teen conference meeting next Sunday night. Business meeting after service tonight, correct? Right? Business meeting tonight or after service. And then the CISM classes. If you have questions about that, see Miss Tracy Shear. She can give you more information on that.
Security meeting
right after this, right after our last amen here today, have a security meeting. Anybody wants to help out with the security, male and female, you're welcome to do that. You can, because some of the ladies in our church are tougher than some of the men. I'm just saying, Jen Hall, I'm just saying. Watch out, Joe. Oh, hi, Joe. I didn't know you were there. I looked right over top of you, buddy. But no, it's a security meeting, so if you'd like to be a part of that, come down and Brother Ryan will share some information with you. Is that it? All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Adrian Sutalo, dismiss us in prayer, please.